All right, last game at Coors Field for Bruce Bochy today, and let's go up to the booth and bring in the Hall of Famer, John Miller. John, how are you this Sunday?
Marty, John Miller reporting live from Denver, Colorado, where it's not only very high altitude, but it's very hot. It's in the 90s today on this getaway day, and I'm doing fine. I'm fine with that.
You know, it's funny. You know, I was thinking about the weather. 95 in Denver is different than 95 in St. Louis or Cincinnati or Washington, some of those spots that they used to put cabbage leaves in their shoes and their hats to stay cool. What's this place like?
Those cities were like Dante's Inferno. I mean, it's like hell on earth. But for a while there, it seemed like the Giants every year were only going to Washington. Their one trip a year to Washington was always in July or August. And it was always like 100 degrees, and the humidity was, you know, 90%. There was a thunderstorm in the middle of the game. It was just a nightmare, and you could not feel comfortable. You know, there's only so many clothes you can take off in public, and no matter how, if you took them all off, you still feel hot and uncomfortable and sweaty. So, when I used to live in Baltimore, the summertime, it would just be stinking hot, and it was hard to sleep. You know, you'd wake up in a pool of sweat, and you'd have this overhead fan. But if you kept the air conditioning on at nighttime, I would wake up in the morning, and I couldn't talk, which is, you know, Marty, that's not good in my business.
Bill King. How about Bill? Remember how Bill used to dress?
Bill used to take all his clothes off. I had a friend who was a doctor, Nathan Schnapper, who really helped found the very first, what do they call it? Where you bring people who've had terrible injuries in car accidents or gunshot thing. What do they call
traumatic,
that?
Traumatic centers.
Yeah, and and he was a great man, and he brought his grandson to a game at Camden Yards one day when Oakland was in town. So I took him around to show him all the broadcast booths and took him in to meet Bill King. And there's Bill in his hip hugger. His underwear.
I remember.
And he had his, his blue jeans, his dress blue jeans, and his shirt hanging on a little wire hanger at the back of the booth. And for years afterward, the doctor would tell me that his grandson still wanted to know how that that man who broadcasts naked, how he was doing.
When did you first meet Bill?
I met Bill on the plane. The Warriors won the NBA title. What was that, 1975?
Yes.
And I had done a soccer game in Toronto. I was doing the San Jose Earthquakes games. And then we flew after a day game through Chicago. And then Chicago, we changed planes and back to San Francisco. And Bill King and the Warriors, who had played in Washington and won the NBA title, they flew commercially. And flew into Chicago and connected with the same flight that we were on. So I saw Bill up there with Rick Barry and some of those guys. And Clifford Ray, I guess, was on that team. And I just wanted to meet Bill. So I walked up and introduced myself to Bill. And he was just fascinated. He offered me some champagne. He says, "Rick, get John some champagne." So Rick Barry poured me a glass of champagne and in one of those little plastic cups they give you in the airline. And then he wanted to know about broadcasting soccer. And he said, I'm so enthralled with the Russian language and the Russian culture and the Russian food. And I know soccer is very big in the Soviet Union and blah, blah. And I said, well, you know, our goalkeeper with the Earthquakes has a Russian background. His name is Mike Ivanov. And he says, oh, that would be Ivanov. And so I brought Mike Ivanov, the goalkeeper, up to meet Bill. And then Bill was talking about Rasputin. And Bill, whoever he was with and whatever the moment was, he was always in the moment. And he was always just totally fascinated and wanting to learn something from whoever he was with. And I'll never forget meeting him in that way and just how he was and how much fun he was.
Yeah, no one like him. No one like him. Big influence on me because I did all these memories of the game. And if I mentioned Burley Grimes or something like that, he just lit up and it would start in with a story about him.
I always remember, because I knew Bill primarily, I remember him as the third guy who only worked occasionally on the Giants broadcast in the early 60s. But and he was there and did one of the big home runs. I think it might have been Ed Bailey's home run in the final regular season game in 62 where they ended up tying the Dodgers and going into that playoff with the Dodgers. So he's still on that record album that they made of all the highlights with that big home run. But primarily I knew him from doing the Warriors games and the Raiders games. And I once went for a job interview to do the Cincinnati Reds television games back in 1975. And I met Dick Wagner, who was running the Reds in the Big Red Machine days. And he asked me if I knew Bill King. And I told him I certainly knew of him. And he was the best basketball and football announcer I'd ever heard. And he says, well, you know, you'd probably be surprised to hear this. Baseball is his best sport. Mm. I said, really? And I was absolutely surprised. And he had worked with Bill in the lower minors years before, back in the 50s, I think. And I don't remember the city, but he ran the team, and Bill was his broadcaster. And he said he was a fabulous baseball broadcaster. And then a few years later, there he was doing the Oakland games, and we all found out just how truly great he was.
What a great story.
Baseball.
What a great story. The Hall of Famer talking about another Hall of Famer. Probably Lincoln, Nebraska, I imagine. That's where Bill.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Boy, great. Boy, I love it, John. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get back to 2019 with the Giants and the Rockies right after this. John, I didn't realize that Bruce Bochy has managed more games at Coors Field than any other opposing manager. And today we could be, well, should be his last one there.
Well, this ballpark, I actually had the privilege of broadcasting the very first game in this ballpark, the first regular season game. The Mets played here in 1995. And immediately we saw that this was going to be a ballpark like no other. But and I don't know that that would be something that I guess it would be like something that he survived, you know. They could give him a special medal, the Croix de Coors or something. But he has done all those games more than anybody else coming in from out of town, and he survived it. And the Giants have had a lot of success here this year, which is very unusual. 6-2, I think, with one game left at Coors Field. For one of the few times in recent history, anyway, the Giants may be sad that their season series in this park is coming to an end, because they've not just succeeded here. They have thrived. They have scored, 9 runs a game on average in their first 8 games.
Boy, I wonder if we ask Bochy, what's the secret to winning at Coors Field, other than outscoring the other team? What do you have to do to put a team in to win at Coors Field? He's probably an expert in it.
Well, whatever the keys were, it seemed like they did not hit most of them in last night's game, because they won the game, but it was an incredibly frustrating game, because they had runners in scoring position in every inning except one, the whole game. And they got some runs home in the first inning, and finally they got a couple of runs home in the eighth inning. But the rest of the time, they kept just stranding these base runners, second base, second and third, bases loaded, you name it, inning after inning after inning. But still, they scored enough to win. So maybe defense, and I can't speak for Boach, but maybe defense is one of the keys here. Duggar robbed Desmond of a home run, and that might have saved the game right there. Slater made a great leaping catch in right field, and so, you know, those are a couple of plays that kind of stand out. But anyway, I don't know. I think you feel like normally if you're going to win here, you got to hit the long ball, you got to score early, and then you got to keep scoring, you got to add on. And they scored early, and then they broke the rest of those rules. They didn't hit the long ball, except for Jeanette in that first inning, and they didn't add on, and finally there they were trailing, and Buster Posey. Maybe it's having Buster on your side in a tight spot.
Right, hit it where they ain't. But maybe it's defense, and maybe not giving up extra runs or extending innings. Maybe that's the key.
Well, I think that is part of it. And I think that for the Rockies there for a while, they had a very strong defensive team, and starting with Arenado, but and I think their defense is not as strong right now, and maybe that hurts them a little bit.
Boy, Will Smith, John, your call in the ninth inning. I loved listening to the whole ninth inning that you did. I thought maybe Will Smith's best inning of the year under those circumstances, especially the last out on Murphy.
Yeah, because we've seen him have innings where he just dispatches the other team. He's putting every pitch right where he wants it. And, zip, zip, 2 strikes, and then the slider, so long, see ya. And yesterday, it was Coors Field. And he had that kind of stuff, which He had three strikeouts in the inning, and he was throwing that slider, and it was lights out. And I don't know how he did it. I don't know if his arm is about ready to fall off today. It'll be interesting to see how effective he's going to be today if they have occasion to use him, and they're hoping that they do, I'm sure. But that was just so impressive. He threw 22 pitches, and the very last one was just as nasty as you'll ever see. He struck out one of the toughest guys to strike out, a guy that you don't want to have up there where just a base hit is what that team needs, and he put him away.
Yeah, and he put him away by a lot. I mean, he swung like the pitch was 3 feet outside when he swung.
And that pitch, and I think the methods they have for spin rate and the break on that slider and whatnot, it's the best pitch in the league. It's the best slider in all of baseball right now. Mm.
Does he remind you of anybody going back in your long time of watching baseball, Will Smith?
No, not really. I guess if I thought about it that way, I'd come up with somebody.
But, I brought up Sparky Lyle, maybe with the slider.
Well, Sparky Lyle, and I was with Sparky Lyle. He came to Texas. The Rangers acquired him in a trade, and I got to know him pretty well. Real character, and he only threw sliders.
Yeah,
that's all he threw, and he told a great story about it, saying that when he signed with the Red Sox, that he went to spring training and met Ted Williams. And he said, what was the toughest pitch for you? And he said, the slider, especially the slider from a left-hander, toughest pitch in the game. And so then he thought, it's tough for Ted Williams, so it's going to be tough for any mere mortal left-handed hitter. And it could be tough for a right-handed hitter because it breaks down and in and out of the strike zone. So he thought, I'm going to work on my slider. And then he thought, you know, why would I throw anything else? So that's all he threw, one slider after another. And he won a Cy Young Award as a closer doing that.
Fabulous. Well, great story, John. Great story. Have a good day today, and I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right, Marty, all the best. See you at Oracle Park tomorrow night.
Shortly. All right, more coming up.